Nice Fiber is an equal opportunity employer.
This is Alexa. You're listening to News Radio 560 KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Well, 15 at News Radio 560 KPQ. Good afternoon to you. I don't know how much you've just been taxed in the last 5 seconds. We'll have to figure that out. How much do we pay every 5 seconds to our federal government? Every nation has a tax man. He takes his cut off the top, no matter the amount, no matter the consequences, no matter the circumstances. Tell it to the judge. Taxes is not what it used to be. That is your obligation to the government. Today, it's just like the government's financial needs and goals are big, all of which remain fixed and permanent. They're not the subject of much discussion. Did you ever discuss it? I mean, really? Did you ever edit it? Did you ever turn it down a little bit? Or did you ever revise it with an eye to fairness and equitable solutions? No. I didn't think so. Because if everybody got to monkey with the tax codes, everybody would. And I bet the guy down the street would end up paying it all because he didn't monkey with his part. If you cannot be inflexible, you can't play the game of taxes. If you're not willing to soak and plunder, you can't get into the game. Naughty bits, defiance, without fear of comeuppance or settling differences. What's that? Is that a game for you? Taxes maybe are just a one-way life event that have become sort of there every day. We're used to it. Yeah, we're accustomed to being savaged in sort of a collegial way, while those enjoying the loopholes, well, we think they escape detection. Is that actually true? Loopholes good for you? Of course, now we're on the shutdown, or a partial shutdown, so I want you to pay for the Army and the Forest and the FCC and the IRS and the FBI and NASA. Did I say IRS? Yeah. And the secret blue book programs for the Air Force can lie about flying saucers and the NSA and the CIA and all the other stuff. Taxation is based on flummery, and it's not exactly what you would call democracy. Democracy, by the way, is not exactly what you would call high-functioning and alert. So tax time is here. All I'm telling you is we have to deal with it. So pay up. Just don't pretend that you have a choice or a voice that's going to be heard right now. 17 past 12 o'clock, let's meet our very special guest, a man who can answer all your questions about what in the world you're going to do for taxes this time, Sean Patton from the Cordell Nehr CPA Group. He's come back for yet. I can't believe this is the third tax season we've done together, Sean.
Is it the third?
It is the third.
Well, great news. Happy New Year to you.
Of course, I'm good with numbers, not like you.
Right. Agreed.
Has the business started to flood already? Are people anxious, or have they gotten all their paperwork together? Is it too early?
Well, there's more questions than answers, I'll tell you that, going into this new tax season. Of course,
What questions are on your mind?
Well, we got the big questions. We got the new Tax Cut and Jobs Act going into effect for 2018, and then we have this looming government shutdown that has at least partially taken away many of the IRS employees that are there to help us out through tax season. So,
has this ever happened before where we've had a government shutdown right at the beginning of tax season? The reason I'm asking this is maybe the IRS will give us a couple days on the other end.
Well, that's one of my comments is that no, it's highly unlikely that we're going to get any extended time to file our tax returns, even though there's going to be a delay, which is going to be, you know, part of the problem going into this tax season. I can't recall whether we've had a government shutdown, you know, this far into January, but we've certainly had delays in the past, whether it be from, tax legislation that we haven't gotten as of the end of a calendar year or, you know, other items. But certainly we've got that combined now where we have a lot of legislation that isn't clear, which delays things, and then as well as the government shutdown going on. Currently, the IRS only has about 12.5% of its employees that are currently working.
Do we know what they're doing? I mean, not looking over their shoulder, but do they have certain tasks that must be done?
Well, certainly. I mean, there must be a reason for that amount of employees that remain, I assume. The White House says that, you know, refunds will continue even through this period while the government is shut down, which is interesting. We can't really start electronically filing until the 28th of January. The IRS announced that a few days back. But, I imagine most of the employees are there to continue working on the tax reform as well as collect our money, because I imagine that they're not going to stop taking deposits.
Oh, I don't think so.
As part of the shutdown, yeah.
That's so. The voice of Sean Patton. He's our tax attorney. He's our tax authority. He's our tax brain trust. If you have a question about the taxes for this year or for last year, if you're thinking about refiling, or for the year after that, or any details that happen in between, call Sean right now. 509-663-5656. 509-663-5656, and ask him any question that you want regarding the taxes. You can ask him about the Mariners if you want, but chances are you'll get a much better answer if you were to ask him about tax law, which changed substantially when we looked at this situation when the new tax bill was passed last year. We knew that there were changes coming. We didn't know exactly what they were. Some people knew about percentages here and there. What do we know about this new tax law that we're going to be working under this year? Has it changed dramatically, substantively, positively, totally? How did it go in your mind?
Well, certainly this is one of the biggest changes that we've had, since previous large legislation in the 1980s. So that brings with it a lot of impacts, a lot of changes. I think one of the myths out there is that, you know, because of these tax law changes, that tax season is going to be much more simplified. We all heard about the postcard.
We should just seen the look on John's face. Obviously, he does not believe that.
Well, in some areas it may be simplified, but I think, we're in for a bit of a shock given the condensed tax season, number one. Not a lot of guidance around legislation in a lot of areas that was issued. And in some ways, this could be one of the most difficult tax seasons on record in the last number of years because of a lot of those items. Plus, we've seen a bifurcation between a lot of state tax laws and federal tax laws. Not all states are following everything that was done as a part of the Tax Cuts and Job Act. So for people, individuals that file state tax returns, that's going to make things more complex. You might have some deductions that you can't take, itemized deductions, let's say, for federal tax purposes that were eliminated as a part of that act.
There were a lot of deductions eliminated, were there not?
Yeah, quite a few.
I don't know if they were made up on some other end, but what do you think about that?
Well, sure. I mean, they always, when they try and do these types of things, they try and balance. I mean, the key is typically balance in order to get things passed, right? Between everybody, Republicans, Democrats, et cetera, they try and balance things out in order to, and then we've got the budget, right, that we've got to look at, because every impact you make on the tax code impacts the budget, how much revenue the government's going to be receiving. So, all those things need to be balanced. Now, they created a lot of this tax law within what I hear, 6 to 12 weeks, somewhere in that neighborhood.
And they had to go back and fix some details, right?
Well, they've gone back and fixed a couple of things, but there's still a lot of things that are pending.
That are unfixed?
A lot of things that are unfixed, a lot of things that are don't have a lot of guidance around them. We have some legislation, we have some rules, we have some laws, but nobody understands how to follow them. And they're waiting for the IRS to, we're waiting to get some of that guidance out, and it's going to take some time.
Bad time to not have all the guidance you need, I would think.
Oh, for sure. And certainly we won't have all the guidance that we would like, even by the end of this year.
So is this going to be one of those years where you tell your client, here's what I think about this deduction. I think you're allowed it. I think it goes to this amount. This is what we assume is going to be law. But I could be wrong, or you could be wrong, or am I wrong?
Or they could, change their minds. I mean, we're going to have to look to other sections of the tax code, potentially, that was already written to try and glean certain things about how the IRS might address a certain stance. We might have to, given ambiguity or uncertainty, file a form that basically says that to the IRS. I mean, here's the position we took. It's uncertain. They have an uncertain tax position form.
But at least here's why.
If you weren't more, yeah, exactly. And here's what we did, and here's why we're doing it, et cetera, and throw it out there.
And do you write that as an addendum, as an annex to the report?
Yep.
Say, here's what we believe based on what we think is law and on our best guesstimate and what you told us.
Yep, that uncertain tax position is a form that's always been there, and you can attach that to your tax return any time that you feel that you're doing something on your tax return that doesn't have very clear guidance. So it remains to be seen at this point how much guidance will we get by the time tax season is here, or even by the time the regular filing deadline ends as of April 15. This could be one of those years where extensions, I know a lot of people don't like extensions. However, in order to file the most accurate return,
that may be
what's in your best interest. Still got to make sure we pay any taxes that we think are due by the deadline so that we don't want to have any penalties and interest accumulating. But as far as completing the most accurate return, filing the most accurate paperwork, we may all need some additional time to be able to do that. So
I'm really surprised to hear this. I'm glad that you brought it up first because it raises this question of how much we know and how do we know it. Where do you get your details from the IRS? Does it come on is it online that you can refer to it? Do they send everybody a CD that they can use to download their own information? What do you refer to? What new law do you refer to?
Well, certainly there's lots of different areas, that you can get your news from. You want to get it right from the horse's mouth.
Of course. I would rather it not be news.
Yeah,
Could it please be the truth?
Yeah, please don't Google it and then, take that as solid gold. You need to find some actual tax research from a legislative body that knows what they're talking about. However, we're subscribed to several different sources where we get our news from, publications, etc., as well as following any direct laws that are issued.
So you have something at least to refer to. You do have. I'm surprised. The reason I'm surprised is I thought between the time they passed the tax law, which was just about this time last year, they passed it just before tax time, and I thought that the laws would be written, detailed, and disseminated by now, but the IRS is in a bit of a kerfuffle because so many laws changed and they're not certain how much they changed.
Right. Well, it came out in December. I mean, things were kind of finalized in December of 2017. I don't recall the exact day. However, the result is just that, yes, although, we have new tax law, that was written fairly quickly. As people start to read and start to interpret the rules and the new law that has been written, questions come up. And that's always the case. However, when you do a rewriting to this extent, there's going to be more questions than normal. Plus, with the way that this change was written, it has led to some inconsistencies within that code because several different people, in order to get this done in that short amount of time, you're going to have to delegate responsibility
and fix it on the other end.
in order to get this out in the time frame that was mandated to get out, thou shalt get this done by, they wanted to get this done quickly and get a change made so they could get implemented. When anytime you do something quickly like that without a lot of review and being able to bring all the heads together in the room, so to speak, to get all their thoughts in line, you're going to end up with some inconsistent areas of the code, and we're seeing that a little bit more and more. And we're hoping, those questions have been raised, a lot of them, and we're hoping to get some guidance, but so far Congress hasn't been in a hurry to act on those items, and so we're still waiting.
Do you think the laws changed or are somewhat more out of focus for the individual filing as a husband and wife or as for a company operating in Chelan County?
Both. I mean, this new tax law impacted both businesses and individuals in a large way. A lot of businesses are flow-through entities, so all the activity from their businesses are actually reported on their personal tax return, and that's where they pay taxes. So, this is all melds together in a lot of ways. So whether the tax law change was directly related to individuals or businesses, it's going to impact both in this case.
Sean Patton.
In a lot of areas.
That's Sean Patton from Cordell Nearer. Give him a call right now. We've had one show and already we realize what we don't know, and it's a lot. So if you have a question, if it's absolutely understandable, let's hear what that question might be. 509-663-5656. Ask about the deductions that you've normally been able to take. Are they still there for you? Ask about the type of deductions that your company was able to take when you could deduct mileage or you can deduct something else. Is that still there? What about when you have to file and you also have an inheritance that's part of this thing, part of your return for the first time ever? You've never inherited money or property, and that's a problem for you. You don't know how to, you don't know how to act. You don't know what to say. You don't know what forms. You want some help? You want some professionals to talk about this? Give me a call, 509-663-5656. Now, for folks, your clients, your longtime clients, do they follow along or do they just say, Sean, I don't know anything about taxes. Help me out here. What's this all about? Are people tax wise?
Our job is to help educate clients, certainly, as a part of this. They come to us for help to understand all these rules. This is a complex environment, and a lot of them have complex accounting needs. But certainly, helping your client to understand tax law and impacts of decisions that get made both now and in the future is a huge part of what we do. We're there to help our clients not just file the tax return and be in compliance, but also just help them on their general road to success as an individual, as a business, anything else. How do these things impact them? Generally, accounting is historical in nature. I mean, we come on the radio each year. We talk about a tax season. That tax season relates a lot to the prior year. There are certain things that can happen in the current period that would impact your historical tax return. However, a lot of this stuff that we talk about is all in the past now.
Yeah.
Everything we've done in 2018 now comes to pass on the form that we report in 2019. So helping clients understand not only that historical perspective, but how some of those things might impact them in the future is really where that professional advice comes into play.
If my memory works, and I know it doesn't, last year at this time we talked about something that all the farmers or men and women in agriculture had to do, something early that happened. Is that going to happen again this year? You know what I'm referring to?
Well, I think you're referring to the farmer's deadline.
There you go, farmer's deadline.
Farmer's deadline, that's March 1st. That has not changed. Those rules are in place for farmers that do not file estimated tax payments. Okay, individuals that owe taxes, either withhold through a W-2 if they're an employee, or they pay estimated taxes if they're self-employed. If you're a farmer and you're self-employed, you either have the option to make estimated tax payments like a regular individual on a quarterly basis, okay, or you can wait until the next March 1st. Figure out all your tax items for the last year, file and pay all your taxes at that time, and you will be assessed no late penalties for not having filed those estimated taxes.
Let's take a call. Sean Patton's here from Cordial Nair. You're on the air. Who's this?
It's John.
John, you have the floor, sir. Ask your question.
Thanks. Hey, my wife got this thing from work, and they want to know if you want to, it's for like a 401. Whether you want to have it tax deferred or to have pay tax on it up front, you know, from your deduction out of your paycheck. That makes sense?
It does, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I was just wondering, what's better, or how would you know that?
Great question, and I'm going to go right to my great answer of it depends.
Oh, no! First show, I'm sorry, John.
First show, first question, sorry, John.
You walked right into it, John.
Yep. But let's talk about both those things and just discuss. This is a great question and a lot of question that others might have. The tax deferred option that you're talking about is a regular retirement option that people have come to know and love for many years. The after tax option is what's referred to as a Roth type investment, yeah. Okay, within that 401k. And there's advantages and disadvantages to both. And so you really, each individual's tax situation comes into play here when deciding how you might want to save for retirement. Okay. Generally, okay, the regular tax deferred vehicle means that you can contribute to the 401k and take a tax deduction today. Okay. Right. And you're going to get that tax deduction at today's rates, knowing that in the future you're going to have a required minimum distribution. The IRS mandates that at 70 and a half, you're going to have to start withdrawing out of that retirement plan.
Right.
Okay? So you're, in a way, saying, well, I think my tax rates are going to be higher today than they are tomorrow on down the road. Okay, because we're gonna delay paying taxes now, and we're going to start paying taxes on some of that when we distribute at 70.5. Okay, and there's lots of planning that can be done in between there to help mitigate that, et cetera. But let's talk around the basics here first. Second is that Roth option. And so here's where you have the option to pay tax today at today's rates, okay, and let that account grow tax-free into the future under current law. And by tax-free, I mean that you've already paid tax on the money that went into that account, and when you distribute that money in the future in retirement, you're not going to have to pay taxes on that again because you've already paid taxes once. You're also not going to have to pay taxes on the earnings on that account along the way. And the third benefit there is that there's currently no required minimum distribution at 70.5. So this is a great vehicle to grow for a long, long period of time because you're never forced to have that money come out. It's all tax-free growth and certainly makes a great inheritance vehicle for maybe a child or anyone else because the taxes have already been paid on that account. And so they're not going to have to pay taxes when they inherit. So lots of different mechanics and options there, and that's why I say it depends.
Okay.
Do you have another question, John? Did that clear it up?
Yes and no.
Go ahead with the no part.
Well, what I don't know is, you know, like he's saying, I don't know, you know, all the ins and outs of what would still be best. I mean, I understand the benefits to both. I'm thinking the Roth might be better, but I really don't know that for our particular situation.
What makes the difference, Sean? Is it the amount?
Well, what makes the difference is certainly your individual tax situation, you know, currently. If you were in a high tax bracket, then I might say it's possible. I will in general say I do like the Roth option, okay? Especially under new tax law, we have some of the lowest marginal rates in history, okay? We have those rates for, although, you know, people throw around the word permanent, nothing's permanent. That just means Congress can change it at any time, okay? We have those rules until the end of 2025, but it's possible with a change in at the top that those rules could also change before that. Okay, so we know until the next presidential election that we probably have these rules in effect, and so given the fact that we have some lower marginal rates over the next couple of years, it's certainly we're out of the old adage where it used to be. We talked a lot about just deferring income and accelerating expenses, okay, to get the lowest tax liability. What's interesting now when giving advice to clients is that could be flipped because of the fact that we have some lower taxes now that we know are there. We might be able to assume that we're going to have higher taxes in the future. And if that's the case, paying some of that tax now, letting that account grow tax-free into the future could be your best option. But here's what I'd recommend is that, you know, seeing a financial advisor or a CPA with your specific situation can certainly add a lot of guidance in this area if you're having any questions, you know, and researching that yourself. Because this is a really complex area, and it's not just about necessarily the 401k contribution on its own. Your whole retirement plan comes into play. What other assets do you have? You want a financial advisor that's going to look at, take a holistic approach to all of your investments, consider both yours and your wife's, what your income looks like now, what's it going to be in the future? Do you have pension? When are you going to start taking Social Security? This gets just more complex and more complex as the snowball starts to roll down the hill.
Way to go, John. You opened up the whole can of worms there.
Yeah, I kind of figured it'd go this way, but it actually it still helps. It's really helpful.
Well, good. I'm sorry that I just can't get you, just off the cuff, here's what's going to be best, because it really does depend on your specific situation, and be happy to help you out further. Just not going to be able to give you the best response on the radio.
Thank you for your call, John. I appreciate it so much. I hope that cleared it up. You're always welcome to call back. This would be a good thank you, and I'm going to let you go now. This would be a good time for somebody who's been listening and driving down Miller to call us with their question. Talk. Don't ask me. God knows. You know better than that by now. Sean Patton's our special guest. He's with Cordell Nair, the CPAs here in town. He's here for your questions, and he's going to be here every Thursday through tax season. Call him now, 509-663-5656. We'll be back right after this.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
At 42 minutes past 12 o'clock, 12:42, I'm Michael Knight. My very special guest is Sean Patton. He's with Cordell Nair. He's the CPA here in town. He's a man who's worked this now in my third tax season as we get ready to file, to not to file, to get an extension, to dance wildly in the aisle of what you think is going to be your return this year. Basically speaking, I know it's impossible for you to answer this question accurately, but are we going to get more money back from the government under this new tax plan, less money back from the government, pay less money, pay more money? What's the trend in your mind? Is that a ridiculous question?
Well, no, it's not a ridiculous question at all, but I can tell you it's the same answer as question number one. It depends.
I'm the one that has to come up with all the different questions, but you use the same answer every
time.
That's
right. I just get to repeat.
We have got to switch roles because I would be very good at your part. I would say, Sean, I really appreciate your approach, but it depends.
But let's unravel it depends a little bit in that area if you want to go down this road. As I mentioned to John, who had a great question on, retirement planning and specifically his wife's 401k, is that how are these changes in tax laws going to impact people? In general, marginal tax rates have come down. So one would think I should be paying less tax, right? If the tax rate for which we're going to be taxed, our taxable income is going to be taxed on, is lower.
So this is the average Joe making $70,000 with a family of four?
Well, I'm just saying here's, I'm going down this it depends path. I would just assume if tax rates are down that individuals would pay less tax.
Right.
Right. But we've got some other things in play at the same time.
That's why it depends.
Along the way, in order to get lower tax rates, what did they have to do and work out as part of this plan? Well, they had to take away a lot of deductions. Okay, we have lower tax rates, but now we can't lower our taxable income as much because we lost some deductions, potentially. Not for everybody, but potentially. If that's the case, then I don't know. Because tax rates may have come down, but you may have lost deductions in excess of what that rate decrease is going to do for you or how that's going to benefit you on your return. So in some circumstances, you may end up paying more. Okay. In general, I think these tax cuts were supposed to affect the majority of individuals. And the majority of individuals is what they promoted should be paying less taxes. I don't know if that's going to be the case. We've done lots of planning for clients in the last year. And I can tell you that in some situations clients are paying less, and in other situations they're paying more, getting no benefit because of the fact that they used to be able to steepen or reduce their tax liability through deductions in a bigger way that have now been eliminated. And so although they've been given a little lower tax rate, they're going to end up paying more tax.
Now, one theory around that last year when we didn't have figures, but we had the general direction of the tax cut was, yes, we've taken away some of your deductions, but we've increased your standard deduction, hoping to take care of that. Did that standard deduction go up enough to take care of it?
Again, it depends. Yeah. In some situations, yes, maybe people are going to see a benefit there. But here's a tip. And a myth, right? Combined is a lot of people think that as a result of this increase in standard deduction, that itemized deductions went away. Well, they didn't go away. We lost a few pieces or components of those itemized deductions, but you're still going to want to calculate all the same things that you always have and put in the figures
and wait and see
and find out whether or not you're going to take whatever's best. That's always been what we recommend, is calculate it both ways, because you never know until you start adding everything up. You can assume, but you might make the wrong assumption.
Right.
And so don't assume that you're not going to be able to itemize this year because of the change in tax law. especially, as I mentioned, if you file a state tax return, there's a lot of states that are not following these federal rules. If that's the case, you may get some deductions there still that you always got. You know, as an example, the 2% miscellaneous itemized deductions, those types of things, you know, those still may be available to you if you file a state tax return.
Here's a weird one for you. What about a person like me who works and lives in two different states at the same time? I have to report to California, I have to report to Washington, and I have to report to D.C.
Great example. You've got multiple state returns, and you're not just a resident of Washington State. We don't have any income tax in Washington State if you're just here, so many don't have to worry about a state tax return, but in your case, you do. And so maybe you're only going to be able to take the standard deduction for federal income tax purposes because of this tax act. However, for state purposes, maybe in California, maybe you're going to itemize. So you can't just make a general assumption that one is the same as the other anymore. You need to still gather all that same information and input all that information in the correct spots to make sure that you get your best benefit.
So if the federal return says we've eliminated your deduction that you were taking on mileage, that's gone. But California says we still have it.
Right. Mileage isn't gone. Okay.
Now, that's a bad example then. I apologize.
That's okay. But it's that you're on point as far as the idea is that although the tax law came out for federal purposes and said, here's the new rules, some of the states said, well, that's great, but our rules are staying the same. And so now we have a bifurcation of those rules. And so you're going to have to figure out what's best. That's why I said, although tax season may be simplified for some people, maybe simplified in some ways because of the rule changes, well, things just got more complex for you.
I think so, because there was you probably know this, but for folks who have never filed a state return because you've lived in Washington your whole life, you know that once you do the federal return, all you do is just plug in those figures into the state return, and it takes 30 seconds for it to figure out what using the same figures, what your responsibilities to the state are, what your return might be. But now that can't possibly be the case.
Right. I mean, those things aren't, you know, just going to flow through, like you said, because all the rules are the same, right? They adopted the same rules
and
regulations. Now it's going to be different. And so if you don't input, for instance, your 2% miscellaneous itemized deductions in whatever software you're using, which, by the way, you know,
next question.
Yeah, be prepared. I mean, we're in the same situation now that we always have been, in that there's a lot of forms that have not been released. Okay, we might be able to start e-filing as of January 28th. However, don't be in a hurry to get that information filed necessarily, because there's a lot of tax extender legislation that's still out there that hasn't been renewed.
Wow.
Remember last year we got that renewed really late in February. People already filed their returns. Now you got to go back and amend. That's costly. That takes you more time.
So is this going to be the year where people say, Sean, that's the best news ever. Thanks for the call. Or are they going to say, are you kidding me? My deduction is gone?
Could be a lot more, are you kidding me, this year, you know, for sure. Wait, you still want to, you know, a tip is that we still want to gather all our information, just like we always have. Don't procrastinate or slow down in doing that. I mean, gather all your info and get it ready, even though we're going to have, potential delays, slowdowns, bottlenecks, need to extend, what have you, this year because of the situation we find ourselves in, doesn't mean you want to change up how you've done things. Continue to gather the information, you know, seek advice where you need it, and try and figure out whether or not some of these things that haven't come through with possible extender legislation, whether or not that might impact you, and then you've got to evaluate whether or not you're just going to file anyway, or are you going to, you know, wait and see what happens. And that's where I'm saying, you know, waiting and seeing this year on a lot of different levels might be the best case scenario for a lot of individuals.
Best advice is given all day long. I hope you heard that one. That's Sean Patton. He'll be back, and we'll talk about this every next Thursday and every Thursday until tax season is completed. Sean Patton from Cordell Nair, thanks so much for being here.
You bet. Thanks for having us, as always.
Well, that depends.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.